Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety FAQ podcast. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and I'll be answering your questions about child and teen anxiety. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I've been working with kids and families for more than 30 years. Now I run Child Anxiety Support, a membership program for parents of anxious kids and teens. Let's get started. You know, when I first started this podcast, I'd figured I'd do it for about a year. That would be 52 episodes, and then that would be it. But this is episode 54, so I've officially gone past my goal, and the questions that are coming in over time are becoming more complex, like this one. And of course, the actual question has a lot more backstory, which I don't share, given that it's very personal. So I've tried to distill it into this one simple but complex question, which is, what can I do when I feel like I've failed my anxious child? Oh, listener who posted this and who did not leave their email, I hope you are listening right now. I'm sorry that you're struggling and that you're hurting. Being a parent can be so painful, especially when we're watching our kids have a hard time. As writer Sarah Payne Stewart said, you're only as happy as your least happy child. I'm going to try to address this very big, very important topic in this extremely short podcast. I hope that I'm able to do it enough justice. I hope that I will find a way to help you feel comforted and maybe even a little more confident at the end of it. First off, you have not failed your anxious child. You tell me that you have been listening to my podcasts and realizing that you are stuck in the parenting pitfalls and you're beating yourself up about it. I don't want you to do that. That is not why I share this information. The relationship between a parent and a child is one that is forever changing. It changes as they change and as we change and as life changes. And sometimes we are a step or so behind the changes that need to come. And that's really what happens with parenting pitfalls. We get stuck in them and we don't know we're stuck until we're stuck. I have had many parenting pitfalls, not just around anxiety. My kids are grown now, and I've been through the bulk of the heavy-duty parenting time. And I'll tell you the first time I realized that parenting was truly not constant was when my oldest son, who is now 26, was about 2. This is when he entered what I call the bent banana stage. You know, that stage where your toddler asks for a banana, and you give it to them, and they fall on the floor wailing because the banana is the wrong shape or size, or you started peeling it for them, or you didn't start peeling it for them, or you peeled it for them incorrectly. When my son hit that age, I was completely unprepared for it, and our days just bounced from tantrum to tantrum. This beautiful relationship we'd been building, it came apart like wet tissue paper. The worst day was when he had a meltdown in public and another person intervened and told me I was handling it wrong. One day, if you ever meet me in person, ask me about it. I'll tell you the whole sordid story. But as I left that shop in tears, totally ashamed, I felt like an awful mother and I felt like a fraud because I'd been working with kids for about a decade by then, and yet here I was undone by my toddler. I can close my eyes and put myself right back there and remember exactly how it felt to carry my screaming kid to the car while this woman watched. Like she watched me, like she was afraid of what I might do if she let me out of her sight. And I remember my face hot with guilt and embarrassment and anger and grief and fear and thinking, I've broken my kid. I've broken him. I've broken our relationship. It will never be good again. Later that week, my friend called. My friend had a child exactly a month older than my son. And when she called, she said, "What in the heck is going on? My daughter has lost her mind." And when we compared notes, I realized, oh, I see what's happened. He's two, and he needs a different kind of parenting than I'd been parenting. I was still acting like he was a baby, treating him like a baby, and he was letting me know that he was ready to be treated like a toddler. And I had to learn a whole new set of skills to rise to the occasion. This was a lesson I learned over and over again, and every time we hit a snag, whether it was with my son or later with my daughter, and I started having that overwhelming feeling of failure and guilt and frustration, I'd stop and say, wait, maybe it just means that something needs to change. So I will offer to you, dear parent who is feeling like a failure, I will offer you the idea that maybe you're a good parent in a relationship that needs to change. The pain and frustration you have, the struggle between you and your child, it's a sign that your child is demanding something different from you, and you can do something about that. You have it within your power to go and figure out what to do next. Do you get that reframe? So many of the parents I talk to who are committed to parenting differently than they were parented, and there are a lot of us listening to this podcast right now, whether we call ourselves respectful parents, gentle parents, attachment parents, conscious parents, but we are trying to do a good job as evidenced by spending our time listening to a podcast about parenting. Many of us are super afraid of getting it wrong. We're determined not to get it wrong. In fact, we may be so afraid of getting it wrong that we are much too ready to beat ourselves up when we are unhappy or when our child is unhappy. Now, I know parenting guilt goes with the territory. I don't know any parent who's going to feel like they're 100% nailing this gig all of the time. And when we slip and yell, or when we read a parenting book that feels like it's highlighting our mistakes, or when we see another parent handling a challenge with grace that we feel like we would have screwed up or have screwed up, we're going to feel guilty. But guilt is only useful when it helps to drive change. Guilt that just makes us feel bad about ourselves is useless at best and harmful at worst. It's okay to say, "All right, guilt, I'm going to do things differently so you can stand down now." It's okay to say, "I regret those mistakes, but I'm going to forgive myself and honor my intention to do better next time." And sometimes it's not mistakes. It's just that we were parenting a toddler like they were a baby and they're ready to be a toddler. And then we can start putting the supports in place that will allow us to grow to the next level. That's what I mean about using guilt to find the motivation to drive change. There's another thing I wanted to say about parenting guilt, specifically around parenting an anxious child, because anxious kids are hard to parent. They take more out of us. And a lot of parents of anxious kids I talk to feel guilty, not just because of what they've done or what they're not doing, but because of how they feel. They might feel guilty for not enjoying their kids or not enjoying parenthood. And let me just say that you can love your children very, 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 very much. You can be willing to lay down your life for them, and you can also not enjoy them because kids aren't always enjoyable. You can also not always enjoy parenting because the work of parenting, the day-to-day work of it, is also not always enjoyable. And you should be allowed space to talk about that and process that without feeling like people are going to misunderstand you and think you're saying you don't love your kids. Of course you love your kids. Parenting anxious kids is really hard. It's hard to worry so much about them. It's hard to feel derailed by them. It's hard to have kids who demand so much. It's hard to deal with meltdowns. It's hard to deal with other people's judgment about how you're parenting. I mean, that is not fun. And it's perfectly okay to want to run away from home sometimes. I tell parents this all the time, and if you've worked with me before, you've probably heard me say it. But there is a whole genre of novels about moms who leave their families. And the reason for that is that many of us have days when we'd like to run away from home. It's okay to fantasize about running away and joining a circus instead of being a parent. Sometimes fantasizing about it is just the break you need to help you come back and face your tantruming kid, your overbooked calendar, your messy kitchen, and your endless to-do list once again. I bring all of this up because sometimes the guilt about failing, and I'm using air quotes here, is covering up a guilt we have about wishing we didn't have these demands on us at all. And sometimes all of that guilt, all of that messy shame and worry and regret and fear makes it really hard to know what to do next. I meet a lot of parents who are overcompensating, like getting really entrenched in the parenting pitfalls because they aren't liking their child very much and they feel bad about it. So, for example, this might be a parent who goes out of their way to be gracious when their child is whining and dragging at them because they feel guilty for wanting to lose it. And because they're going out of their way to be gracious, they're missing an opportunity to set a boundary. Because they're worried, am I setting the boundary because it's good for my child? Or am I being selfish? And I tell those parents, it's okay to be human in the relationship. In fact, your humanity is a blessing for the relationship. Your want to set a boundary likely means there needs to be a boundary there. You don't always have to be an Instagram-worthy parenting whisperer with your kids. If the relationship between you is generally healthy and is generally loving and generally strong, then you can trust that your instinct that says, I need to put a stop to this, I'm not enjoying this and it needs to be different, I want things to change, is a sign that yes, indeed, things need to change. That is the power of the parent-child relationship. There is room to get it wrong, realize it, and course correct. There is room for you to go back and say, I didn't know then, and now I do, and I'm going to do it different from here on out. And there is room for all of your feelings and emotions in this difficult relationship. Getting it wrong, getting stuck in parenting pitfalls, feeling unhappy, is not a sign that you're a bad parent or that you have a bad kid or that you're doing a bad job. It's a sign that something needs to change. That's it. Just that something needs to change. And how else were you going to know that except by becoming dissatisfied about the way things are right now? When I am working with parents, I start with the assumption that they are doing a good job and that they are good parents, because frankly, most parents are. And when I start with that assumption, I'm making a point of noticing that parent's strengths and skills, because those are the things we want to tap into as we make change. I don't start with what people are doing quote unquote wrong, because I don't think in terms of wrong. I think in terms of what's working and what's not working, and even what was working. And why isn't it working now? And this is why I say that your parenting is not the problem, it's the solution. If I went back in time to meet myself as the unhappy mother of an unhappy two-year-old, I wouldn't say, wow, what a screw-up she is, what a bad mom, what a mess. I'd say, oh, wow, there's a mom tuned in enough to know that this isn't working, and she just needs some help in figuring out what to do next. And she needs some shoring up because she is really struggling right now. I'd look at the good relationship that mom had, and I'd look at that developmental turning point and know that the relationship is demanding change. And now I look back, and my son, he was one of those kids who hit every developmental milestone like the Wile E. Coyote running into a wall, just slammed into it. And every time I'd forget and think, oh my gosh, I'm failing. I don't think I figured it out until he was 8 or 9. I'm hoping you get to figure it out sooner. That change is hard. That change sometimes, well, often, requires some measure of discomfort. And it requires us to be uncomfortable so that we change. So my dear listener who posted this question to me, and anyone else who is feeling this way, you have not failed your anxious child. You are realizing that what you're doing isn't working, and how wonderful that you've realized this, because now you can look for supports and information to help you create change. That doesn't mean your struggle is over, but it does mean that you have begun the journey to better functioning and understanding. Now, true failure, that would be in denying your unhappiness or denying your child's struggle and continuing to do the things that are not working. It would be continuing to treat a toddler like a baby when they are begging for help to grow up. We growing parents, instead of seeing ourselves as doing things wrong, I wish we could reframe this as the inevitable course of changing parenthood. What you see and what you do works. What you did and what you do works until it doesn't. And then you might be unhappy, and your child might be unhappy. And that will tell you, oh, it's time for us to change. Let me know if I can help. Thanks for tuning in this week. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on the show, you can reach out to me by going to childanxietysupport.com and submitting a question there. You can also check out the program while you're there. And if you'd like to learn more about whether or not it would be a good fit for your family, feel free to reach out for a quick consult call. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next week.